Okay, I want to mention a couple things. Be sure to be praying for that meeting tomorrow night, 7 o'clock at University of Wisconsin. We really do need your prayers. And so I'd encourage you to be much in prayer tomorrow for that and during the day, especially tomorrow night. And for Roundup Sunday, I want to encourage you to be making your prospect list of folks that the Lord would put upon your heart to bring to Roundup Sunday. We believe that's October 13th. And so I want you to make a list and pray about it. And pray about the people that you should contact, because the Lord would want you, that there's a spiritual need that could be met, that could they could be helped. So be praying about that. Continue to make sure that you pray for the Simonsons. Mr. Simonson would be glad to have you pray for him. His body's getting road weary. And Mrs. Simonson, it's contagious, you know. So where will you be on Sunday, Brother Simonson?
Antigo,
Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Okay. So be praying for that meeting. Pray for Nathan and Laura, as Laura's grandfather passed away, and they have driven to Pennsylvania to go to the be a part of the funeral. And pray for them as they are in the churches. A church on Sunday voted to support them. Let's see. I'm trying to remember the name of the church, but I won't remember that. But pray for that. Every church that takes them on, $100 a month is about 2% of their support. And so pray for their support to be coming in. Okay? So let's go to our Bible. And let's go to 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. Very simple truth of the love of God that is a transforming truth that takes place in our life. You know, as we think about this, we think of course, what the Bible says in verse 10. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Now, as you think of this simple truth, really, we ask ourselves, well, what is the love? What is love? You know, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. What is love? We think of the fact that the Bible tells us that before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ was chosen to die on Calvary's cross for our sin. As you think of the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, we recognize that the love that is shown by God is far more than a passing emotional fancy. It is far more than even an emotion. It was the choice of God in eternity past, and we can't understand that, can we? It was God's choice in eternity past to love us And certainly, from God's standpoint, we aren't very lovable. We are not very lovable. Now, we might think we're lovable, but from God's standpoint, from a holy God standpoint, really, in that standpoint, boy, we are not very attractive. We aren't very lovable. We aren't, you know, when people think of loving someone, you know, someone says they fall in love. Well, really, when you think about that phrase, it's quite different than the Bible. Because when you think about that, that person is thinking about, many times thinking about all these nice things about this person. And many times they're thinking of that nice, all those nice things about that person and how that is, you know, just is so nice. And you know, you think about it in that way, we really use the word love in really a wrong way, don't we? I mean, it's so different than you think of God's love for us. You know, when we phrase that, someone says, well, I want to marry them. I just saw them first sight, fell in love first sight. Really? You know, this person was really ugly, right? This person, you know, didn't brush their teeth. And they still had corn, you know, on their front teeth. And, you know, they didn't wash their face and they still had, remnants of whatever in the corner of their eye. You know, and, you know, they were, their hair is kind of kinky, you know, it's got cobwebs. They were just in the barn and it's still got cobwebs in there. And, you know, all those nice things. No, that's not why people, you know, if someone says that, you know, they saw somebody like that, they saw him. That's disgusting. But is that really, when we think about it, if we really come to grips with God's love, what did he see? What did God see? When it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, it's all about the fact that he saw that our sin was condemning us to hell and that we were sinful and we loved sin and we were bound to sin and we were hopelessly selfish. And he said, you know, I need to do something for these people. I must send my son. You know, when the Bible says we love him because he first loved us, I wonder if we forgot what we are like. I wonder if we really have forgotten how sinful we are. Wonder if we've forgotten how lost that we are or were. I think there's a real part of that is that when we see ourselves in comparison to God, you know, the Bible says no man seeks after God. Now, we have every reason in the world that we ought to seek after God. He made us. By him, we have our breath. He is good to us. He is good to the just and the unjust. And he loads us with his benefits daily. And yet, when you really think about it, do we really think that we really meditate on God's love? Now, I gave you a little question to elementary children here. Okay? This question for elementary children. What do you think about God's love for you? What do you think about that? You know, maybe you have an uncle that always buys you presents. And you think, boy, I really like that uncle. You know, and et cetera, et cetera. Well, and you have all these positive thoughts about your uncle. Well, you know, God is bigger and better and more loving than the best uncle, right? But what do we think about? Do we think about, well, do we think about God's love? As I was at the university these last few weeks, just being reminded of being on the university campus. And I can still remember the day walking down university campus, not University Avenue. I can tell you the very block. Walking down that sidewalk thinking, hey, this is amazing. The fact that God would love me so much that he could forgive me of all my sins. That God could love me so much that he could forgive me of all my sins. I think it's a very important truth that we take time to think about God's love for us. You know, sometimes we are so self-centered and so selfish and so just thinking about ourselves that we miss the main point in Christianity. God's love for us in sending Jesus Christ. For us. You know, maybe it would be good for us to just take a few minutes in our time and think of how sinful and wicked and how rotten our life was before we were saved, and how unthinkable it'd be that God would love us. Now, the Bible tells us, let's not get there yet. You know, I think that there's a truth there. And that is, like the Lord said, as the Pharisees were complaining about this sinful woman who was ministering to him, and the Pharisees criticizing that, and he gave the parable and said, well, who's going to love me the most? The person who I forgive little or the person I forgive the most? And of course, he said, well, they said, of course, the person who you forgive the most will love you the most. I think there's the principle is that we need to be reminded of who we were. Amen. We need to take time to remind ourselves how wicked we were. You know, it's impossible for us not to be overwhelmed with the love of God if we think correctly about who we were and, yeah, even who we are. Amen. And if we can be blinded by our selfishness and our sin, that we aren't moved by the love of God. Now notice the second truth there, along that we love Him because He loved us. It tells us that the love of God is transformational. I just read a book, I think it was from Miss Raines. In fact, I read it two or three times. A book about an Amish lady who got saved. And as I was reading that, a couple things struck me. One, how she was so overwhelmed with all the rules of the Amish community. Of course, they knew nothing about the Bible. How she was, you know, that just burdened by all of that. And then when she got saved, it was like, you know what? I want to obey God. She was so tired of obeying the Amish rules and tired of that system, you might say. And she thought that, you know, boy, I just want to get rid of this kind of life. But when she got saved, it wasn't rules. It wasn't regulations. It was the love of Christ. The love of Christ. And you know, the love of Christ is a transforming truth. If we've experienced His love, that love is transformational. You know, the love of Christ takes a spirit of rebellion and gives it a spirit of wanting to obey. It takes that person who is selfish and against being told what to do and gives them a spirit that says, I want to do what God wants me to do. There's this transformation. Apostle Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5:14, you know the verse, obviously. You should. We all should. It says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. They asked the Apostle Paul, the verse before that, it says, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. In other words, whether we be beside ourselves, the word beside ourselves is a simple phrase you find in the Bible. It means your brain has left your head and it's sitting on the side. It means people think you're crazy for God. And that's what they call Jesus. His family was going to come rescue him. They says, this man's gone crazy. Our son has gone crazy. He's gone mad. He's become a zealot for God. And he says, well, what is all this about? It's the love of Christ. Now, so let's just say a couple thoughts about the transformation of God's love. God's love transforms us from being selfish people to be giving people. God's love transforms us from being selfish to being a servant. It's transformational. You know, God's love breaks our heart. When we get saved and we experience God's love, it changes that heart of stone and makes it a heart of flesh. It's amazing truth, isn't it? It's amazing truth. We need to think about God's love. Now, I guess we should just simply say a very important truth. Has your heart experienced the love of Christ? You know, there's the big difference between religion and profession and reality. When a person personally comes to Jesus Christ as their Savior, they don't like to use the word too much, but they have an encounter with the love of God. They have an encounter with the love of God. And that love is transformational. Now, let me ask a question. Did you pray a prayer? Or did you have an encounter with God? Now, hopefully, both took place at the same time. But if there was a turning to Jesus Christ, and there was a new birth in your heart, there was an encounter with God and a transformation in our heart of God's love. And really, that, you know, is something that we need to get back to in our own thinking, is the love of God that He displayed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God that transformed and broke the back of our rebellious spirit and our selfish spirit and made us a new creature in Jesus Christ. And now we need to pursue the love of God taking place in our life. We need to pursue that. Now, it has many facets, but we need to pursue the love of God in our life. The fruit of the Spirit, the Bible says, is love. When we are rightly related to God, that selfish spirit is broken and transformed, and our life is being motivated and pushed and influenced by God's love and the pursuit of God's love in our heart. Let's pray as we close. Lord, we thank You for the fact that we need to be challenged tonight to thinking about Your love and how we are unworthy, and even tonight to be challenged by the fact that Lord, is unworthy as we are, that You still love us. And we thank You, Lord, for Your mercy. We thank You for Your love. And we pray that, Lord, even tonight, that we would take time to allow the very fact that You loved us enough to save us, and You loved us enough to make us Your children, that, Lord, certainly that those truths can even transform our life tonight. And may it be so, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we have some important prayers.